The wheelbarrow full of dicks internet radio program begins in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Hey, estoy bien. A wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Monday fun day.
No, no, squish, squish, squish. I'm not having no kids. Squish, squish, squish.
Put it in there.
Put it where?
In my mouth.
Carl, the show cannot go on until you get here with the rainbow brain.
That, right? Yeah, these oak tree fingers are going in.
My name's Fat Venus.
Yeah, we got the tank.
No, Wolverine, stop!
Have a nice day.
He's a pretty little kitty. He is. He's a lovely little kitty. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, old football head Napier.
Sup?
And the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Why is that?
That's what people say in movies.
That's what you say.
Oh, I thought... Oh, that's like one your catchphrase.
Yeah, it's my catchphrase. I went on a Star Wars bender this weekend, so I watched all the original, and like 3 to 4 times per movie, someone says, I've got a bad feeling about this.
So. Are they usually right?
yeah, pretty typically. Pretty typically, they're right.
So you saying you got a bad feeling about this is ominous.
I heard Carrie Fisher is not dead.
She had a heart attack on an aeroplane.
Yeah,
she's stable, but in rough shape.
She's okay. Guys, I know you're number one news source, so we're just keeping you up to date on the latest on Carrie Fisher.
RIP, George
like
Michael.
To call into the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, we have one hell of a show for you tonight.
And we're manning the phones, and we want to hear what you have to say about what we talk about.
Apparently the voicemail still doesn't work, Travis. I got the message that the voicemail still doesn't work. It's really bugging me.
What's Skype doing about that?
I don't know, man. But the voicemail does not work. So if you want to get in contact with us, now is your chance. Here in a little bit, we are going to be joined by director Kirk Sullivan, whose new film City of Dead Men is in select theaters now, and also video on demand. Your iTunes, your Amazons, all that stuff. It's there. So
is it on Hulu?
No. Hulu doesn't have like pay stuff. They have the shit that's been out a while. They're like a pay HBO type deal, aren't they? They get stuff that's been out for a while. This is new, fresh, Travis. We got the fresh movies that are out now. The ones that if you want to experience, you gotta fork up for it.
Pony up some dollar bills.
Travis, I learned some stuff this week.
Oh, you did?
I learned about this game called Yeti in My Spaghetti. Did you hear about Yeti in My Spaghetti?
Never heard of it.
Played it on Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
It was okay.
It's fine.
Napier said he was shitting water the whole time.
Yep.
He didn't go join in any of his family festivities. He just stayed home and felt bad.
Yep. Almost died.
But me, Travis, I went and I played Yeti in My Spaghetti. That's what I did with the kids. The kids, mm-hmm. they got this game. And basically, you remember Kerplunk?
Yep.
Yes.
Where you pull out the straws and then you keep the marbles from going down in the Kerplunk?
Yes.
Well, this is Kerplunk, only somebody figured out that Yeti and Spaghetti rhyme. And so it's a little Yeti sitting on top of some spaghetti.
And, so it's the same rules.
Yeah, you pull out the spaghetti and hope you don't drop the Yeti into the bowl, because then you lose.
So we need to come up with the next game that's exactly the same thing but called something different?
There's really only like five games. On the phone, every game is like a match three of one color game. So you just need a different delivery service for that same game.
Can we remake Operation and just call it Don't Fuck Up?
And no, I mean, there's objects that go up in the air, and you have to shoot them. You know, like your duck hunts, like your Angry Birds. You know, precision shooting games, that type of deal. There's only a couple of different games.
I play Sudoku. That's different.
You need to make the next Sudoku. It's just matching up two things that match, right? And then you take them off.
Sudoku is line up nine numbers in a box.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a totally different thing. What am I thinking? No, I'm thinking of the one with the little Japanese symbols that they all kind of look alike, but they're a little bit different.
Mahjong?
Oh. Yeah, Mahjong. I got Sudoku mixed up with the Mahjong, Travis. One I apologize.
You used to preload with every computer you ever bought?
Yep. Just like
I don't do Sudoku because math, that's not a game. That's not a fun thing.
I feel like my brain is working when I'm actually doing well at Sudoku. It's like the only reason I have it on my phone.
You're working your mind so that you don't go batty at a young age?
Yeah, exactly. And then when I feel like I might have maybe had too many cocktails the night before, I can kind of gauge it by playing Sudoku the next day. And if I do a good job, I feel like I'm back on track. And
So that's like your excuse if you're able to drunk drive, as you say. Dude, I cleared plenty of Sudoku. I'm fine.
See how quick I cleared this board of Sudoku?
I've heard that's what they do. They do the backwards alphabet test. They do breathalyzers. And if you pass those, then they'll test your Sudoku.
That sounds about right. I like it.
Speaking of working your mind, you know, I have a bad memory. Bad, bad memory. And I've been reading a book called... I haven't been reading it. I've been listening to the audiobook. You know, that's what I do with my job. And I've been reading Moonwalking with Einstein. It's a book about guys who do the memory championships where they remember like a certain amount of pi and all that. And it's really interesting. I thought maybe I'd get some tips out of it. But there's a whole chapter where they're talking about chicken sexers. And that's really all I've taken away from the book so far is the thing about chicken sexers. Apparently it's like this real rarefied thing. Where, you know, like, we only eat female chickens.
Nope, don't eat cock. No.
Yeah, we don't eat any male chickens. They just discard those. They get rid of them. They're a nuisance. And but apparently, you can't really tell the difference between a male chicken and a female chicken for 4 to 6 weeks after they're born. And that can be pretty expensive. You have a bunch of chicks... And you don't want to feed a bunch of chickens for 4 to 6 weeks that you're just going to get rid of. So the only way to tell, apparently, is by a collection of strange marks inside a chicken's asshole.
Really?
And this real rarefied profession of chicken sexers, they come in and they look in chickens' assholes and they look for the right markings on the inside of their asshole, and they can do it quickly. If you're good, you can do two at a time. But it's like a real difficult thing to learn, and they're paid really, really well because it's really difficult and challenging. And apparently, if you fuck up, if you're not very good at it, it could be very costly. But if you're very good at it, it could be very lucrative for you. But you look inside a chicken's asshole to tell if it's a boy or a girl before there's any other signs.
I feel like that industry could use a little bit of rejuvenation. I would think that if they tried to start peddling off like prepubescent boy chickens as like the veal of chicken, they could make a whole lot of money because there's enough dumb shits out there that will, you know, look at something. If you peddle it as a rarity, people will.
Like bacon for the longest time was a peasant food.
Right.
And nobody wanted bacon.
Like seafood, too, like lobster and shit. That the only reason people started eating lobster is because they lived by the sea and they were poor as shit. So they're like, grab lobsters and crabs and they cook them up. Now you spend, you know, $24 for the ultimate feast at Red Lobster with a bunch of garlic butter.
Yeah, there's got to be something we can do with all these male chickens that we're killing.
Yeah, it seems like a waste to not be peddling those to people with...
I wonder if there's a YouTube video on the marks. Like, you know, because that's how I learn all my things is on YouTube. And I want to learn how to be a chicken sexer because...
I think the males get ground up into, like, dog food.
They make dog food out of the male chicken? They got to do something with them. I doubt they just, like, throw them away. Yeah, they have some kind of purpose, I'm sure.
I'm betting they make them into, like, paste for McNuggets.
They're used for the dog food that, like, lists chicken first. You know, the one that you pay a little bit extra for because the first ingredient is a protein and not, like... garlic powder substitute or some shit. So they'd probably grind those up for the dog food. You're probably right.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. That can be something that, like, I'm tweeted next Saturday by Liquid Lozenge. This will be, like, a thing that he'll find out. Hey, Liquid, what do you do with all the male chickens? I'm sure they have a purpose. I'm sure there's something going on with them.
If you're in the industry, feel free to leave us a voicemail.
Don't. Send me an email. Voicemail doesn't work. We're working on it.
Well, we're not working on it. Skype's working on it.
They're not working on it. They're dicking me around is what they're doing. So I also learned that upon its initial release, It's a Wonderful Life was a bomb.
Yep. Nobody wanted to see it.
It had a $3 million budget. It barely made that back. And then it came out in the 40s. And then nothing happened with it. It just kind of died and nobody cared. And when its copyright came up, back in the day when things went into public domain, you know,
before copyright actually still expired.
Yeah, they didn't even renew the copyright on it. They were just like, dude, this movie fucking sucks. We're not even going to renew the copyright on it. And because it went into the public domain, cable stations and shit could just play it for free and not pay for it. And they were thinking, it's the holidays. People are busy. Nobody's watching TV. We'll just throw on this garbage. And they just did it so much that eventually it became a tradition for people. It became a classic. And that's why It's a Wonderful Life is what it is now. Basically because it was garbage.
It is garbage. It's a horrible movie.
And apparently it didn't even come out at Christmas time. It came out in January.
Why? Why would you do that? It's a fucking Christmas movie.
Does it have Christmas in it that much?
I mean, it is Christmas.
A little bit, but not really. I mean, like, I think it's like Die Hard. There's Christmas in it, but it doesn't really have to be a Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life, like, is kind of along the same lines of Christmas Carol, actually, I think, where the whole moral of the story, it's like a Christmas miracle that this guy was shown the correct path.
He was shown a miracle because he tried to kill himself, not because it was Christmas.
Well, he tried to kill himself because it was Christmas.
Yeah, he didn't have shit.
Maybe it's been too long since I watched It's a Wonderful Life, Travis. Because I don't remember all that much Christmas in it.
Hey, everybody! It's Christmas!
God, that guy's voice in that movie is fucking hateable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Christmas!
You want the moon, Mary? I'll pull it down for you! No, you won't. Fuck you.
I bought you a gift and you a gift! Everybody gets a gift! I used to be a Scrooge, but now I'm not!
He wasn't a Scrooge.
He's an asshole.
He's kind of an asshole. Not a Scrooge.
He learned not to be an asshole. Isn't that what Scrooge is, though? Isn't he just kind of just an asshole?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Scrooge was kind of like a rich twat.
So was like, George Washington.
Wait, don't my taxes go to poor people? Shouldn't you people be in those homes?
Do you think there's a chicken sexer podcast, Travis, that we could, like other chicken sexer enthusiasts? They could look in chicken assholes. And
there's a podcast for everything, right? So chicken sexers have to be out there ready to dish out the
information. Speaking of a podcast for everything, Travis, our friend from the Passersby podcast, he started another podcast.
Excellent.
And it's called...
Did he threaten to quit already?
He hasn't threatened to quit this one yet, but he will. Surely he'll threaten to quit and make a whole thing about it. But it's called The Mad Wanderer. And why this is great is because it's purposely shitty. And all the episodes are like 8 minutes of nonsense. He's released 3 episodes. The first one is just One chord on a ukulele slowed down to make it 6 minutes long. The second one is just 6 minutes of him jangling a jingle bell. And the third one, Travis, the third one is a work of art because it's him trying to connect to Skype with some guy, and they keep just saying, "Hello? Can you hear me?" at each other. I have a clip of this. You guys got to hear this. It's 8 minutes of this, but I'm only going to play a minute of it, and there's all kinds of notification sounds. It sucks. It's terrible. But it's purposely terrible, which makes it great.
So it's art.
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
This is the whole thing. It's 8 minutes of this.
Hold on. Oh, God, this is a good hamburger.
Hello.
Lay down, stupid dog.
Now, what makes this so funny, Travis, is it's supposed to be a secret. I don't think that people are supposed to know what's going on. And he's playing the whole Modern Family game with it. And his most recent episode has been retweeted 70 times. And now, I assume none of the people that are retweeting it are in on the joke. They just think, oh, well, if I retweet this guy, he's going to retweet me.
Yeah,
and
it's a Modern Family thing. I have to retweet it.
We're all going to get famous, right? And so, I mean, it's not an endorsement. These people are just sharing this blindly. They shared 7 minutes of Jingle Bells just because other people shared it. And they want to share podcasts so that their podcast gets shared. And then this sea of retweets. So I wanted to give shout outs to these saps who I will shout out on Twitter and tell them the Will and Fabby show, Travis. The X and Y show. Nothing escapes X and Y, baby. Mm-hmm. Brody's Kitchen. That Film Stew. And the Brorons with Big D and Little R. They are all people who retweeted the Mad Wanderer podcast. They retweeted 7 minutes of Jingle Bells. And so, hey, why not retweet an actual show, right?
If you were coming up with a skit about podcasters, it would be hosted by Big D and Little R.
Yeah, Big D and Little R hosting the podcast, right? Get their names out there, the names of Big D and Little R.
That's amazing that he's doing that with that Mad Wanderer show. I didn't realize what that was because I don't listen to podcasts.
Well, and the thing is, Travis,
that's great.
I mean, I think it's genius, and I listen to it and I laugh my ass off because I know it's a goof. But, I mean, I imagine that, you know, Will and Fabby over there at the Will and Fabby show, they're probably not fans of conceptual art. I mean, I don't think they're in on the joke. So, like, what are they doing? It's a disservice to the people that follow you on Twitter to retweet things that you don't endorse. That's the way I feel.
I completely agree. And like, so, what are you peddling?
I mean, if you haven't personally vouched for the Mad Wanderer podcast, why are you retweeting it? The X and Y show? Why are you doing it? Can you explain that to me? What are you doing?
We discussed this before. It's the old MySpace friend train. Just share and retweet and join and like.
So the next step, I guess, would to be get in on those iTunes review trades, where you just get a bunch of people to trade iTunes reviews to you so that you can get iTunes reviews and see what kind of iTunes reviews you can get for 6 minutes of Jingle Bells. you think that they'll get the joke? You think they'll listen to that and say, "Man, that's deep. I get the connection with that. This guy is like the next Mr. Brainwash."
The amazing thing about it, too, is, like, what does it cost him to put out this show?
Nothing.
An RSS feed that he already probably has?
Yeah. He took a day to make an RSS feed, and then he uploads stupid audio files of 6 minutes of one ukulele chord that he slowed down.
Sounds a little bit like the How To Basic YouTube channel, where it's all performance art.
You got to do like how to drink a Pepsi.
You never saw How to Basic, have you?
No. Is that how basic it is?
No, it's just wonderful. You got to go watch it.
Explain it to me, Travis.
Napier, is this one of your weird things that nobody gets?
Yeah, Napier. See, when you do the introduce a thing and then just say,
I thought you people
you have
knew about
to look it.
It
up. Nobody's going to look it up, Napier.
It's one of the you'll most popular just, YouTube channels.
You'll have to just look at it. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You tell me what it is, Napier, is what you do. You tell me what it is.
I'm not going to spoil it.
How do you spoil a YouTube channel?
Yeah, watch it. If you don't know what it is,
Travis,
if I tell you what it is, you're going to be like, oh, well, that's fucking stupid, and then you're not going to see it.
I don't know what something is. I don't partake.
Travis, I quit the podcast. Please explain to me what this is that you're talking about, Napier. Please. Pretty goddamn. We're turning over a new leaf. 2017 is going to be the year of the Napier.
Okay.
Every week you're going to bring the thunder, Napier. You're gonna explain something to us, and you're gonna. I mean, like, people probably know about It's a Wonderful Life being a bomb, but I didn't. So I brought it to my podcast because I thought it was interesting.
I casually mentioned something.
They casually explain it.
Okay. So what this guy does is he creates thumbnails, and it looks like he's explaining like how to make pizza or something stupid, like how to do something or to make a comment on something that has happened. He's got a thumbnail, but what you get is performance art. And if you don't look at it, if you don't see it, you're not going to enjoy it. If I explain it to you, you're going to think it's dumb.
It's performance.
Just explain one. Just explain one of the videos, not the whole concept. Just give us, like, tell us the latest one you've watched and what the deal is.
See, there's this guy on Facebook that I like. His name's Uncle Rob.
Yeah.
And every week, Uncle Rob teaches you how to do something, which basically is just him blowing something up. So, like, he'll say, you know, how to put up the Christmas tree. And then he'll just dump a bunch of gasoline on a Christmas tree and catch it on fire. And it's funny.
I think so.
Did you see how I did that, Napier?
Yeah.
Now, you can go watch Uncle Rob's videos and still enjoy them. But I just gave you a brief gist of what to expect.
It's
I know what every single Jason Sudeikis movie is going to be like, but I'll still watch it.
It's hard to describe it. It involves eggs.
Oh, my God, I hate this so fucking much.
It involves eggs.
Eggs?
It involves eggs.
Okay. What kind
of
eggs?
Can I tell you?
Like a chicken egg?
Chicken eggs.
I dropped an egg tonight for the first time in my entire life onto the kitchen floor. I've never in my whole life dropped an egg to the floor, and tonight was the night.
How'd it go?
I cleaned it up with paper towel.
I knocked over a big candy jar full of M&Ms while I was setting up the show. I knocked it over with my butt when I bent over to pick something up. I knocked it right off the table. Got M&Ms everywhere. There were so many M&Ms, guys.
Did the dish survive?
Yeah. It was like it wasn't like a glass dish. It was like a plastic thing.
Nice. Yeah. That's a win.
So it was fine. But that is 2 weeks in a row that I made a big, big mess.
Well, you didn't do it on air this time.
Starting to think it's cursed, this show.
The fucking table.
So
well, it is a big table. I mean, it's not like, you know, moving. It's unencumbersome.
Is it like the table from the original Batman movie with Michael Keaton, where him and Kim Basinger sit at opposite ends, and then they wonder why they're sitting at the opposite ends because they can't barely talk?
It's about an eighth that size.
What if Matt plays the game and like becomes the most popular podcast out there?
Good for him.
Like, what if the Mad Wanderer becomes like this big thing? What if it accidentally becomes like a thing?
Then good for him.
I will celebrate him.
You'll celebrate him?
Absolutely.
I guess that's all you can do, really.
Mm-hmm. And then you try to do another. And then you try to do a 5-minute podcast where you try to call your mom, but she can't hear you.
You just call your mom every week and just say, "Hey, mom, we're recording a podcast." She said, "I don't want to record a podcast." And I said, "Well, we are.
It's a podcast." And then you try to explain it to her. It's just like every week, like 4 minutes of that.
Did you cash my birthday check yet? You're fucking up my checkbook.
Mom, you didn't sign it. You didn't sign the check. You're supposed to. I told you last time you have to sign the check. I feel like.
Have you been eating enough? You looked thin the last time I saw you.
Checks. But the checks, I feel like you're not actually trying to send me money. You never signed them.
Your father asked what you thought about the Cardinals game last night.
I didn't want, you know I don't like baseball.
Your father doesn't understand why they didn't just give Matt Holliday any money.
I don't want.
Hold on, I'll get him. Hold on.
Need the check. I need you to sign the
check. Oh, he's in the bathroom.
That's fine.
Do you want to wait till he gets out?
Checkbook is in your...
Did you ask him about Matt Holliday?
I told him about Matt Holliday. He said he doesn't care about Matt Holliday.
He didn't even want that much money.
I didn't know. I just want the check signed.
Honey, the check. Did you cash the check? You're fucking up my checkbook.
Okay, ramen is boiling over. I gotta go. I'll talk to you later.
Travis ended the call. He didn't yes and.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what you should do?
Ramen was boiling.
Go on to How To Basic and try to describe what you're
Napier,
saying.
Napier, if you bring up fucking How To Basic and don't explain it again, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Okay, you look at it and you explain.
I don't have time to look at things. I'm doing a show. Explain to me what it is or we'll move on.
He makes food incorrectly.
What do you mean he makes food incorrectly?
And like he doesn't follow the craft.
Please tell me it wasn't that easy to describe.
Well, no, he like does weird things with food.
Oh my God.
Okay, so like he makes hot dogs.
No.
Oh, so he sticks food in his asshole. Is that right? Because that's weird.
Napier kind of shrugged. He doesn't know that this is an audio medium, Travis.
Exactly.
He thinks that shrug was a perfectly reasonable response to the guy on Skype who can't see us and the listeners at home. He shrugged, Travis. Travis, we've been doing this show for 7 years next week. Next week is our seven-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
And Napier responds to questions with a shrug.
And then a thumbs up.
It was an audible shrug. You could hear it.
So did you guys get anything good for Christmas?
I don't know if I got anything good for Christmas because I didn't go.
Did they just send all the presents home with your mom?
Do you gotta go way, your Dad just opened them.
Probably. Or they, you know, burnt them.
They just gave them to somebody else.
Yeah.
Uncle Carl figured he could use one of those.
If he couldn't be bothered to drive out here, well, then fuck him and fuck his presents.
That would be kind of nice.
I mean, you just, every time, this should be a tradition. Anytime somebody doesn't come to Christmas.
Travis, he cooks food weird.
He doesn't cook it.
He does weird things with food.
He does weird things with food.
Like when they say cook it at 375, he cooks it at 350.
No, not really.
Simple and free, a feeling fun. Just you and me and a happy sun. WFOD.
Grab him by the pussy. 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 She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where that's some nice furniture. I moved in her like a bitch. Grab him by the pussy. 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 She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where that's some nice stuff. I moved in her like a bitch.
Uncensored. Unadulterated. Unintelligible. Sonic blasphemy. Alcohol-fueled geek metal mayhem. Wednesday, 6-5 Central on Strange Label Radio. The most brutal 90 minutes on internet radio. Nothing is left sacred.
Well, I'm not a great man, am I? But I'm not your fucking lie. You like to complicate things.
I'm going to ask you one more time. Please open it.
The Strange Label app for both Android and iPhone?
Open it! Open it!
Dude. Okay, geez, it's available now for iTunes and Android. Hear the stream 24 hours a day on the go.
Once again, WFOD. wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight is Kirk Sullivan, the director of City of Dead Men, which is available in select theaters and on video on demand now. It's on the iTunes and the Amazons and the what have you. Kirk, are you there, buddy?
Hello there.
How's it going,
I'm
man?
Here. Going very well. Thanks for having me. I'm driving in a wintry blizzard of upstate New York right now.
Why?
Well, that's where I was born and raised, and I'm back home with my family for the holidays.
I see. Thank you for doing this, man. It's good to talk to you. I saw your movie the other day. I liked it. It's got a lot of good colors and sounds, and it looks good. You know, it's a pretty movie.
We tried to make it look and sound good, so I appreciate you appreciating that.
So I'm reading up on you a little bit, and it seems like you're benefited with the ability to make friends good.
Well, I've tried. You know, I've been out in Los Angeles for a little over 10 years and been working real hard and trying to get my foot in the door any way I could. So is it
maybe not necessarily you're good at making friends more than people can see that you're working hard and they want to throw you a bone?
I hope so. I don't think I really excel at making friends under kind of any kind of false pretense, you know, of any kind of personal ambition. But I think... in Los Angeles, you know, if you hook up with the right people and make a sense that you have a high degree of ambition and any degree of skill, then maybe they'll take notice. You know, that's been my philosophy that I've tried to cling on to over the years, and I think it's done me some good.
I would think that Los Angeles is full of people with a lot of ambition. Isn't it just a whole big sea of people trying to make it?
You know, I think ambition is one thing, and then the perseverance and the dedication and the discipline to stick with it over a long period of time and to kind of go through the trials and tribulations or the grunt work or whatever it might be, I think those are two different things. And I think in my case, ambition, you know, I thought was all I needed maybe when I graduated from film school, and 12 or 13 years later, I realized it takes a lot more than just ambition to get anything accomplished.
So you graduated from film school. You got a break as Joel Silver's assistant.
I did, yeah. Well, first, prior to that, I was Brad Furman's kind of assistant intern.
That's the Lincoln lawyer guy.
Cool. Yeah, the Lincoln lawyer guy. And he saw some of my early work that I was making in high school and even prior to film school, and he always really believed in me. And we co-directed some music videos back in the day, some rap music videos. And then a lot of years went by, and I eventually became Joel Silver's assistant after I was a production assistant and assisted a few other people and kind of just getting whatever job I could that was anywhere around a film set. And
wait, we gotta back up real quick. You just said you co-directed some rap videos back in the day. Whose videos did you direct?
Well, you got to be a real serious rap fan to recognize any of these artists. But one was a great underground Los Angeles rap group called Styles of Beyond. And they were one of my favorite groups growing up. I was a big underground hip hop fan, so it was a huge deal for me to be able to direct their video. And we shot on 35mm film back in 2003.
Did you go to a fancy house and make it rain and do all that? Was it stereotypical?
No, we had no budget. I went to their concert and I loved it. And afterwards, I lied to them and told them I graduated USC Film School. I hadn't even been admitted yet. And I said I'd love to direct a video, and they were like, sure, let's do it. And so that summer, I brought them over to the crappy little college, you know, house I was sharing with eight people, and we shot a little video, and then we went to a little warehouse downtown and shot a live performance segment. So it was pretty cool. It was a big deal for me, but not a lot of people, you know, really saw it because it was a small-time rap group. But it was a big deal for me to have that opportunity and kind of, you know, hook up with some guys I really admired. And then the other artist was a real talented guy from Compton named Spitfire. And he was signed to Interscope, and he won some big competition about around 2005 or something like that. And he's a real talented guy. He's co-written some songs for Flo Rida and all sorts of big-time people since then.
Does Spitfire have a Y in it? Is it F-I-Y-A?
That's true, yeah. It's two words.
Amazing.
First word, last word, F-I-Y-A.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, if I didn't know that was already taken, I would want my rap name to be Spitfire. That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. A young Kendrick Lamar was in the crew. Like, he was like one of the background kids. I think he was probably like 15 or 14 at the time. Brad Furman and I made that happen. That was real exciting for me and just my first chance kind of to you know, direct a pretty sizable crew and with artists that I really respected. So that gave me a lot of confidence when a lot of my peers in film school hadn't really had that opportunity quite yet.
Your number one advice to aspiring directors and artists would be to lie to prospective artists and say that you were admitted to a school that you're not.
I wouldn't say that's my number one. I wouldn't even encourage lying, but I would say do whatever you got to do to make your own opportunity. It's a hard game to get a chance to, especially as a director, to really get an opportunity. So if it takes telling a little white lie, then
Spitfire is probably not going to ask to see your diploma.
Asked to see your diploma, really, though.
That's what I would. I think a valuable piece of advice for any film student or any student or any, you know, young filmmaker is nobody has ever asked to see a film diploma ever in the history of time. So you can always say, I actually had friends who never graduated from USC, but they went to USC, and they could have benefited just as well as I did by saying they went to USC, because nobody cares if you get the diploma.
Do you feel like you actually benefited from going to film school, though? Or, I mean, was it mostly just the networking, or did you actually benefit from the classes and things that you took?
Yeah, you know, I think just having a couple years to dedicate to thinking about film and practicing film is the biggest benefit. And then at USC, the by far the biggest benefit is having classmates who, you know, are in town and going to be in the industry, and that was really helpful. But I think just having that time to consider yourself a filmmaker and think about what that means to practice your craft, I think that's really important. But as far as, like, what you learn in class, you know, it's helpful, but I think especially nowadays, any kid can learn the same lessons, you know, on all sorts of really resourceful websites that are out there.
So you made City of Dead Men on location in Columbia. It has a lot of Columbia landscape in it. It's a good-looking movie, as I said before. Was there good and bad parts of Columbia? Was it a good part or a bad part that you were in?
Well, if you're talking about safe parts and unsafe parts, then yeah, there were safe parts and unsafe parts. But if you're moving with the right people and you have, you know, the right security people around you and the right locals who kind of know the lay of the land, then we never felt in danger ever, and we moved all over the place.
Yeah,
and
I Googled Columbia and I got a whole bunch of stuff about gorillas. Kirk's okay.
Well, I appreciate your concern, but everybody's first impression, at least a lot of people who are in the United States, when they hear Colombia, you think of kidnapping and drugs, and especially with narcos and whatnot. But the reality is Medellin in Colombia, down in Colombia, they call it Medellin, not Medellin. So Medellin, it's come a long way. It's super safe. It's a really beautiful city. The people there are tremendous. There's a great industry, and I never felt in danger ever, and I traveled all over the place.
Was cocaine cheap?
You know, you'd have to ask some of my crew about that. If you're interested, I can give you some contact.
So the movie has a Twilight alumni in it. Do you get Twilight fans that track you down and say, hey, man, you made a movie with my Twilight guys? Is there still diehard Twilight people?
There's a lot of diehard Twilight people. I think over the years they might have aged out of our kind of demographic. Like, at the time, there was a lot of 14, 15, 16-year-old girls who were really excited. I haven't really been feeling their feedback so much since the film came out, so I don't know if we've reached that point yet. But, yeah, there are a lot of especially younger women who are real excited about the whole Twilight of it all.
They've moved on to the beasts. I know where to find them.
That could be the case. I don't know where they've moved on to, but they no longer are tweeting me.
Did you see that one, Travis? The beasts, I know where to find them?
Yeah, I think they moved on to 60 Shades of Grey, I think is where they moved on.
Oh, yeah, because they're older now. That's the next logical step, right?
Maybe I'm into it.
I'm not sure. but my Twilight alumni, Jackson Rathbone, is a real talented actor. And I think he hasn't been doing a lot of work, and I think it's because he's been focusing on his music. But I was real happy to have him on my
show. Oh, he does music?
Yeah, he's in a band, and he's done some music, and yeah, I don't think he's been motivated to be an actor in recent years. And that's kind of my assumption. I actually haven't talked to him in a little while, so I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I know he's, all I have to say, he really is a supremely talented guy, and I think he could be as big as he wants to be.
Napier, did you see any of the Twilight movies?
Yes.
I saw the first one. I enjoyed the first one in the theater.
So the Jackson Rathbone, in the second one, I think it was, the Jackson Rathbone's the guy who, he's one of the vampire guys' brothers. And Kristen Stewart, pricks her finger or something, and she starts bleeding, and he, flips out. And he's just got to eat her, man, because she's bleeding.
Well, you never want to prick your finger around a vampire.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that. That's bad news. Yep. So, the City of Dead Men, it's kind of like a millennial Lost Boys, if I'm oversimplifying it. It's kind of...
Yeah, I think that description, I'd be happy to have that description of all the various descriptions that might fit this film. I love the Lost Boys, so...
Even the guy's name is Michael, and so a lot of times they say, Michael.
I was like, that was purely coincidental, but...
Oh, it was coincidental? I was going to ask if there was a Lost Boys...
I think, the writer had the name picked out before I came involved, and I think I could also be reinventing history here, but I think I kind of tried to latch on to the whole Lost Boys of it all after I came involved, after the name was already picked, because I'm a big Lost Boys fan, but that was definitely a reference.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't able to watch the movie yet. I really want to, did the actor have to eat maggots? Did they tell him he was eating rice and then you fed him maggots?
No,
Travis, it didn't have every... It wasn't a Lost Boys ripoff. It just had elements of Lost Boys.
I thought maybe there'd be some Easter eggs.
It kind of reminds me of Lost Boys.
Some Easter eggs, maybe.
The millennial version of maggots in our movie is you have the ayahuasca.
Oh, nice.
Right, and there's a scene like the bridge scene when he stands out in the street and motorcycles are zipping by.
Yeah.
If you try to make Lost Boys connections through the whole thing, it's way easier than you think. But, you have to try.
Yeah, no, the only dissimilarity is that there's a crew of creepy guys and then outsiders hanging out with them. But,
not vampires.
They're not vampires, and it's not quite as cool as Lost Boys, probably. But there's a couple parallels you can make.
You can't sell yourself short like that. Like I said, I haven't seen the movie, but don't. You got to say it's as cool as Lost Boys. You got
to. I'll let somebody else say that. But Lost Boys is one of the greatest movies from the 80s, so I don't want to start comparing my film. No.
All right, I'll get back to you. I got to watch it. I'll watch it. I'll let you know.
All right, I appreciate it.
So it is in select theaters. I saw on your Twitter account that you actually flew somewhere to see it in a theater playing against Star Wars. I guess that's fun to do, right? Did you see Star Wars too? Did you watch both?
I haven't caught Star Wars yet, but I thought, it premiered in L.A. and that was cool. It was kind of at a small indie kind of artsy theater, which is great. A lot of people came out. I think that's something to be proud of. But
where'd you say it was?
It opened in Los Angeles, so it got this the Cine Lounge in Hollywood. That was cool, but it's a small indie theater, kind of.
Yeah.
And so for me, to see it in a real theater, AMC theater in Phoenix with the 4K DCP and the 5.1 surround, and to see it on the billboard, on the marquee next to Star Wars, that to me was a big accomplishment and something to be real proud of, something to celebrate. So, yeah, I flew to Phoenix right before I flew home for the holidays just to catch that and to kind of experience it in all its glory. And now I'm ready to move on.
Did you nudge people in the theater and say, "Hey, I made that, man"?
No, the only two other people in the theater weren't really concerned with me, so I sat by myself and enjoyed it with my popcorn and just kind of it was a personal moment. It was a little pilgrimage that I had to take.
You went up to the line and the guy behind the booth rolled his eyes and said, "Let me guess, Star Wars," and you said, "Nope,
yeah,
I'm here
no,
for
I was
City
like,
of Dead Men."
Yeah, I said, "I want to see City of Dead Men." He was like, "What? Is that playing?" I was like, "Yeah, it is. It's playing. I'm theater 13, please." That really was a special moment. I think any filmmaker should see their film in a theater, preferably with an audience. And,
right.
And for me, somebody who's really been working at this a lot, quite some time, to see it in a real AMC theater, it's a kind of a small miracle that it made it to theaters at all. I mean, to get movies into a big AMC theater, across the country is pretty difficult to do these days. So the fact that it was there was...
I saw that it was in film festivals in November of 2014, so that's a pretty good gap that you've been trying to get this one out there.
Yeah, there was some production company kind of legal issues that I wasn't really involved with where it had to kind of sit dormant for quite some time, and that was frustrating, for me. But, and I don't even know what that film festival, I'm not even sure what that was. So, yeah, but I shot the movie almost 3 years ago. So, for that period was a tough period. So, it wasn't like I was out there knocking on doors trying to get the film out there the whole time. It was kind of, they were dealing with their own legal issues.
Right.
And then they sorted it out, and then it went out.
Do you have the next one picked out? You got something that you're working on?
Yeah, I've got a few things I'm working on. I have a writing partner named Chris Boyd, and we've been busy writing a number of things and kind of making our careers as writers, to pay the bills and to try to get some momentum in our careers. And as a director, I have some scripts that I've written with him that I want to make. One called Slam that we have a lot of interest for that we're trying to get going. It's like a Goonies kind of adventure comedy. If you saw, I made a short film a few years ago before Dead Men. That's an action-adventure kind of on a film set, and that's kind of more...
I watched it today. I did watch it.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, that's called The Come Up, and that's something I'm really proud of as well. And that style of film is something I would like to do next, after City of Dead Men, which is completely different.
Well, I mean, I think that something that could be really big, Kirk. I'm going to pitch something to you here.
I'm ready.
Giant,
I love it when we pitch filmmakers.
Giant tiger movie. Like a Godzilla, but it's a tiger in a city just knocking people over. And like a big-ass tiger movie. Is what
and you got to wait for the title.
This is good. This is good. You ready?
Concrete Jungle.
Yes.
Oh.
Giant tiger.
We've already
genetically modified to be a killing machine.
We've already cast Richard Dreyfuss and Michael Keaton as the mad scientist. Michael Keaton is the one who is trying to pull back from the project. Richard Dreyfuss is the one that went full force.
Oh, that Richard Dreyfuss.
I think, didn't we cast Amy Adams as the one that was going to try to help recover the city from the giant tiger?
I thought we went Anna Kendrick on that, Travis.
Oh, Anna Kendrick. Yep, I always get those confused. I always get those guys confused.
I like it. I like anything with that package, I'm in. I love it.
Well, we don't have any money, and we don't have a script, and we don't have the cast yet.
But damn, what a pitch, you know?
That was good. That was great. I appreciate being here for that.
Kirk, The City of Dead Men is in select theaters on video on demand on iTunes now. Is there like a website or something people can go to get more information on it?
Yeah, I think there's a website if you Google City of Dead Men. But more importantly, I'm real frustrated. I don't have any Twitter followers. So if anybody out there wants to holler at me on Twitter, I'm Kirk Sullivan Yo.
Kirk Sullivan Yo.
Yeah, I need to get some followers out there. So
yeah, we will get you the WFOD bump on your Twitter followers. Buddy.
That's too many. That's too many characters in your Twitter handle. We're not going to be able to say many things to you with 140 characters.
Kirk Sullivan Yo. That's not that many.
Does your name take up the 140 characters when you're trying to talk?
Yeah.
Oh,
Kirk, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, if I'm tweeting at Kirk Sullivan, that's part of the 140 characters.
In the chat, Anchor says, careful, he's going to steal your ideas, Mike. I'll tell you what, Kirk, I won't be mad at all if I can see a big tiger up on the screen. If you steal my idea, that'd be fine. Because
I'm gonna work on that.
It would be my gift to the world.
It reminds me of a He-Man scenario.
The big green tiger?
Oh, was Cringer.
Is it Cringer? Yeah, and Battle Cat.
It's Battle Cat, yeah. He's Cringer when Prince Adam is Prince Adam, but when He-Man's out, it's Battle Cat.
That's not a giant tiger. That's like a normal-sized tiger. I'm talking like a King Kong-sized tiger.
It's like Godzilla size. Like, he could fight Godzilla.
Kirk, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Everybody's going to go see your movie. It's going to be a big hit. Thanks, hey, man.
Drive safe in that white.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful out there, man. It's slippery.
All right, guys. I appreciate talking to you. I hope to talk with you again during when the next movie
comes out. Yeah. We'll do it again when the next one comes out.
All righty, then.
Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Travis, I like that Kirk Sullivan guy. Seems like a nice fella.
He just got another follower.
And you followed him just now?
Yep, absolutely.
See, and we need to make a documentary film about chicken sexers.
I was just trying to tweet at him, but I ran out of characters.
Napier.
What's up?
I saw a thing on the Reddit today. You know, I'm into the Reddit now.
Yeah.
On the front page, it was a audio commentary for like one of the DVD seasons of Family Guy.
Yeah.
And it was a scene that Fox wouldn't allow them to air. Like, you know when you're watching a TV show and, like, the ad for the next show comes up in the bottom left corner and, like, you know, Tim Allen comes out and waves at you and says, you know, hey, my show's coming up next. And, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that pisses me off
shit
so much.
Well, they did a parody of that where Marge Simpson came out and waved and it said, The Simpsons coming up next. But it was actually in the show. And then the giggity guy, what's that guy's name?
Quagmire.
Yeah, Quagmire runs out and tackles her and tries to rape her.
I thought he did rape her.
And then he chases her off screen, and then she comes back a couple of seconds later, and, like, you know, she liked it, you know, when he raped her. And then they cut to the Simpsons house, and Homer catches them having sex, and then Quagmire murders the whole family. And through this thing, Seth MacFarlane is doing the audio commentary, and he's pissed off that Fox wouldn't let him air this and saying that they're playing favorites because he didn't let Quagmire rape Marge Simpson. He said, oh, they won't let me rape Marge Simpson on my show because they play favorites with the Simpsons. And I thought it was silly. It was a silly goose. Because, you know, when you see that, you're not thinking, oh, man, how edgy is that Seth MacFarlane? You're thinking, I can't believe Fox let them put that on TV.
No shit.
So Fox is the one on the line there, not Seth MacFarlane. He's just trying to be funny and failing.
Well, and also it makes sense that they would hold The Simpsons near and dear to their heart. That show's been on for like 20 years.
Right.
It's like their flagship show.
The comparison he made is because apparently in an episode of The Simpsons, there was a wanted poster in a scene with Peter Griffin that said wanted for plagiarism. And he said, well, they're allowed to take shots at me, but I'm not allowed to rape Marge Simpson.
It's a little different.
He runs out and tackles her and rips her panties off. I mean, it's pretty graphic. Like, I was like if I were a rape victim, I would be very triggered by it.
I was going to say, that's just leading credence to the rape culture, you know?
Right. And then she comes back and she liked it. You can't have her like it.
I have a feeling they have probably an entire warehouse full of shit that they probably put to a animation and they can't use. Because I've seen quite a few of them on YouTube. You can actually look them up and, oh, they're on there.
Do you think that we ought to just go to a show of 8-minute clips of us making noises? I mean, apparently that's what the people want.
People don't actually want that. People aren't actually, they're not actually listening. They're just retweeting, remember.
But doesn't retweets kind of like show your status, Travis? I mean, like, no. If Kirk Sullivan Yo goes and looks at our Twitter and he sees that, you know, we only got a certain amount of retweets, isn't he going to think, oh, that was a waste of time? Now, if he saw 70 retweets, he'd think, wow, I really did something there.
Is 70 that good of a number?
70 is a pretty good amount of retweets, I'd say, for an independent podcast of Jingle Bells.
It's enough for Favestar.
Yeah.
Favestar would certainly send him a trophy for that, I think.
I don't know what that is.
Favestar. It tells you when you did a good tweet.
based on how many people liked and or retweeted.
Yeah, that's your status. You have the retweets. I can't really tell him download numbers because I could make something up. It's like him. What he told. What was that guy's name? Rapid Fire.
Spitfire. That he graduated.
I'll tell him. You know, we got 200,000 downloads. What does he know the difference?
Do we actually know? Like,
it's impossible using social media to actually gauge organic interaction.
Is it because it's all nonsense?
Yeah, you can just click anything. It doesn't mean you actually give a shit or looked into it or checked it out. Like you said, it doesn't mean you actually endorse it. You just press that goddamn button.
Can we pitch every filmmaker we ever talk to the giant tiger movie until somebody makes it?
Yes, just like we can ask every single rock musician.
I don't think I'm ever going to get the giant tiger movie made myself.
I made that poster. Remember, I made that poster.
Yeah, we have a poster for the giant tiger movie, but we don't have a giant tiger movie, Travis.
We have the giant tiger movie. I got that dirt bike jumping the fence and a tiger in the background.
Well, now we have to put a dirt bike jumping a fence in the tiger movie, or the poster won't make sense.
I think what we should have is a Miss Medea movie. Along with Big Mama, they face off.
No, what we'll do is after the giant tiger movie gets made, we'll have Tyler Perry make a movie in which Medea lives in the city that the giant tiger takes over. So it's like a side story for the giant. It's like Rogue One, but like Medea is the main character.
I've always thought that would be a good setting for a movie. Is like you don't have the actual destruction. But you have like people just living in the aftermath, and it's never like dealt with. They're just like, you know, a lot of streets are closed because Godzilla walked down it, you know? And so like you can't use that street, and then there's just big footprints laying around. And you're like, fuck, I can't use this street because there's a big footprint here.
How the hell am I going to get my Ovaltine at the corner store now that the corner store was trashed by this giant lizard thing?
Yeah, guy lost his job because King Kong knocked the top couple floors off his building, and they downsized him. Guy, you can't come into work. Your desk is gone. King Kong punched it out a window.
There's no work here for you. We apologize.
I don't even know what to tell you, guy. King Kong punched out your window.
Can you get unemployment for that, do you think? Do you think if King Kong punched out the floor that you work on in your office?
Yeah, I mean, like, you got downsized, and it wasn't really, like, your fault. I mean, you didn't bring the giant gorilla here.
I mean,
that was the idiots that went to Skull Island, and they brought him back on a boat, like idiots.
They could probably offer you, like, a cleanup position. Like, I'm sorry, I know you're the managing editor of... outgoing apps, but now we need you to grab this shovel and start shoveling Carla's computer into the dumpster.
Hey, people in the chat, do you think Kirk Sullivan liked us? Just respond yes or no. I'm just curious.
I'm going to go no.
Napier, was this the worst year ever?
It's not over yet.
I just keep saying that the worst year ever is this year. But next year is going to be even worse, right?
Well, look back at 2015. Everybody said, fuck 2015, can't wait for 2016. Just look back on social media. You'll see the exact... It's just amping up.
Michelle thinks that Kirk Sullivan liked us, Travis.
I think he liked us.
2017 will probably suck too, guys. So, I mean, if you're really thinking that next year is going to be better, you're wrong.
Oh no! Next year.
Do you know when you didn't think? Do you know when you didn't think years sucked? When you were a child, when you didn't give a shit, you just lived your life.
Yeah, every year sucks.
Now everything sucks.
What was that thing I sent you the other day? That we were just convinced that the world was a big pile of shit and it was never going to get better.
You only send me things that convince me that the world's a big. It's never going to get better.
Travis, I saw a thing. There's a new subscription service that you can sign up for. $25, you can get a safety pin and letters telling you to tip black people more. It's the safety pin box. Apparently, white people can sign up for a subscription box where they send you a bunch of literature about how you can make life more comfortable for black people. And they give you a safety pin to wear. And that safety pin signifies, I didn't vote for Trump, and I'm on your side. That's what the safety pin means. You, Travis, you get your own safety pin for one. You don't give some broad $25. If you want to wear a white gilt safety pin, you could just go get one.
Yeah, but didn't she straight up say? Didn't she straight up say, "I don't care. I just want to get that money."
Right. Yeah. She said, "Oh, maybe I'll get a car for this."
You know how you end all this bullshit? You end it by doing what I did with my children, where we have never commented on the difference between a white person, an Asian person, or a black. We used to watch. I used to watch UFC with my daughter in the room, and she would ask me who I thought would win. And you know how like some people would say, "Oh, I think the black guy's got it." We'd say the guy with the yellow shorts or the red shorts or whatever. My children are 7, going on 8, and recently turned 5. And somebody tonight on Impractical Jokers said that they were black. It was somebody on the street. They're like, "Hey, I got a secret. I'm black." And my children asked me, "What does that mean?"
They didn't know what black was?
No, they didn't know what it means, because they just say, when they're referencing, they will say, "Some people have brown skin. Some people have, you know, our skin," whatever. But they don't have a classification for it. So when somebody says they're black, they don't get it. And that's how you end all this bullshit.
Do you think that we could propose a plan to... I mean, it's going to suck for a while, like people forced to have sex with people they may not want to have sex with. But just like propose a 20-year plan where all babies have to be some kind of mixed ethnicity, to where eventually like we're all like kind of like a creamy mocha color. And it doesn't fucking matter anymore. That would be cool. That's the only way that we're actually going to stop anything, is if like we just all just keep fucking and mixing and stuff until we're all just kind of like a mixed color and it's fine.
You see a lot of those clickbait articles saying, you know, these gals, they say, "Oh, if white men were erased from the earth, you know, if it was a white men genocide, then the world would be better." And I think that is clickbait, because I think what it means more is like what you're saying is like, if we all just mix up and we don't think about it, that's when this shit ends. We don't have to worry about all this garbage.
No, yeah.
Because then everybody with the same skin color, you're still going to have weird urban areas and you're still going to have crime in the same places, but you're not going to be able to point to a specific race and say, "Oh yeah, it's them."
Yeah, and then you're just going to say, "Eh, those poors, you know."
Yeah, "Hey, it's those shitheads from that place, you know, they're all like that."
Like all of those movies, you know, the Divergent movies and all those movies where everybody splits up into different sections and, you know, you can't be around that. And then everybody judges each other for their thing. Nah, just mix it all up. It would all be better if everybody was just, you know, all kind of the same. And the thing about individuality is bullshit. Just all be the same and then there won't be any problems.
The most prevalent show of that is that movie with Justin Timberlake and that chick that played Linda Lovelace, Amanda Seyfried, In Time.
Oh, where they have to buy time?
They got time to live, yep. But it was like the class system was weird. It was almost like Snowpiercer, where it was like sections. It was like, "Oh, these people have all the time, and these people have none of the time, and you can't get into this place."
Olivia Wilde was Justin Timberlake's mom.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Forgot about that.
I vote.
Forget I said anything about that movie.
if your mom was Olivia Wilde, you'd know your mom was hot, right? I know how you say, "Oh, I can't tell if my mom's hot because she's my mom." If your mom was Olivia Wilde, you'd say, "Yeah, my mom's pretty hot."
Yeah, you would not bring your friends home because they would all just be like, "God damn, your mom's hot all the time."
Yeah, and then like you're the same age as your mom. Then it's really weird. I mean, there is that age difference that makes it not that great. It's like, what if, like, you know, she just keeps buying time?
There was never any age difference. Forget I said anything about that movie. That movie sucks.
That movie sucked, Travis. I was gonna let you have it because I felt bad for killing your pick of the week last week. But yeah, no, that movie was dog shit. I think we were supposed to believe that what's her name was like a badass.
Siegfried?
No, it wasn't Siegfried. It was, was it Siegfried? I thought it was the Amanda that 70s Siegfried show was, gal.
No, Amanda Siegfried was the one that was, his lady friend. Yeah. Was Mila Kunis in there?
Yeah, I think she was a badass.
Oh, she was trying to get Justin Timberlake.
She was taking one of those Michelle Rodriguez roles.
Oh, yes. Didn't work. Give it to Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah. You don't take Michelle Rodriguez's role. She needs them.
She does. She's got to pay all those OWI fines.
So did we cover it, Travis? The Mad Wanderer podcast. Shout out to the X and Y show. Nothing escapes X and Y, baby. The directorial debut of Kirk Sullivan's City of Dead Men is in select theaters now. Chicken Sexers, It's a Wonderful Life, Yeti and My Spaghetti, the Family Guy Rape, The Safety Pin Box. Is this the worst year ever, Napier? George Michael died yesterday.
Well, the unbelievable.
It was his last Christmas.
The year's not over. He can't say it's the worst year ever when it ain't over. We still got a whole week of this shit.
You mean it could get significantly better in the next couple of days?
Yep. Every day is a new adventure. Oh, and Travis, MTV pulled that clip you were yelling about.
It's on our Facebook page if you want to check it out.
Yeah, they killed that real fucking quick.
MTV needs so to many learn, people similar to everyone else, that the internet is forever.
I still, though, whoever came up with that video is no longer at MTV.
No, they should have been fired.
Do you think that they put that out, or do you think that we can just assume?
I just assume that they're no longer there.
Did you see how many retweets it got?
So many. It's like all the retweets. Favestar said, congratulations, MTV.
Is Favestar still around? I don't see Favestar as much.
You're not following the right accounts, because if you follow those people who just tweet shit that they found on the internet, like clever sayings.
All the people that post words. Stuff about Fridays.
And how they love their coffee and how they like their coffee and all that kind of shit. Those people like...
Don't even talk to me till after I have my coffee.
But you don't drink coffee.
I go from zero to bitch in 6 seconds.
FML, it's Monday!
Those people still subscribe to Favestar, yes.
Maybe we should be Favestars.
Should we subscribe to Favestar like we created our fake news a handful of weeks ago? Just for an experiment?
Nope, that's not even true.
Nope.
Nope, not even true.
Guys, you go get that City of Dead Men, you watch it. It's a fun little movie.
Follow Kirk Sullivan, yo.
At Kirk Sullivan, yo. You not only follow him, but fucking tell him why you followed him. The WFOD bump.
Let them know we sent you.
Yeah. Napier, do you have anything else you want the people to know?
I am so, so happy that MTV thing got killed. God, that was fucking infuriating.
It doesn't count as getting killed if everybody watched it first and responded to it and reposted it. It's still there. It still happened. You can't just delete it and then everybody just, well, yeah, everybody forgets everything as soon as it...
Yeah, everybody's got...
I mean, yeah, it, by then Coney everybody had forgotten about
baby.
It. Yeah, it was gone by the time they deleted it. Damage is done.
There's no damage, I mean, unless somebody got fired.
R.I.P. Harambe.
God damn it, Harambe.
Fucking Harambe. This is the worst year ever.
Well...
Travis, do you have anything you want the people to know?
Not a goddamn thing.
Guys, Happy New Year.
Do you have any resolutions?
We'll see you again in 2017.
I do not have any resolutions. I'm going to just be this until eventually my heart decides it's had enough.
How long do you think?
And then I'll be dust.
Well, that's my mama.
wants you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at wfodshow or facebook.com/wfodix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzonia, and Joni B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. Have you ever thought to yourself, man, it'd be really great if I could give money to the people who do that thing I like? Well, we made that possible. Go to WFODix.com and find it under the Extras tab. In turn, we'll say thank you at the end part of the show that everyone skips past. But you won't, because you're one of the good ones. You stay till the end. You'll never leave us. Right?
Wow, three times in a row. You're amazing, Glenn.
Oh, I just take a lot of pride in what I do.
Hey, what's going on here? Get off my wife.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You shot my homie. I'm calling the police.
I can remember. Mom and Dad are dead.
Oh, no. Who will pay for my saxophone lessons?
My baby left me on Sunday morning. My baby left me on Sunday morning. I'll drink my coffee all alone. And like my love, the coffee's cold.